The white University of Cincinnati officer Ray Tensing, who shot and killed a black motorist Samuel DuBose on July 19th, has been charged with murder and voluntary manslaughter as new video emerged of the traffic stop and shooting. On Thursday, Tensing pled not guilty. The judge set bond at $1 million. Hearing this, the courtroom audience erupted into cheers and applause. Records indicate Tensing once used a stun gun on another motorist he said resisted arrest and assaulted him. Tensing was fired. Two campus police officers who responded to the shooting have been put on paid leave. The prosecutor who brought the murder charge said the university should disband its campus police department and turn over policing to the city. And while the deaths of Sandra Bland and Samuel DuBose occurred in different circumstances, legal experts say both cases fit a pattern in which black drivers are disproportionately targeted under a system which amounts to vehicular stop and frisk. Following on the heels of the body cam footage, which was released in Cincinnati, Philip Urey, the inspector general of the NYPD, issued a report on Thursday on the body camera pilot program here in New York City. He said the program shouldn't be expanded from the 54 officers in six high-crime precincts until questions are addressed. He offers about two dozen recommendations in his report. He says police interactions should be automatically recorded and footage should be stored longer. The NYPD is reviewing the report, and so is Mayor de Blasio.
Body cameras are going to be an important contribution to the reforms we're making in policing in this city, and I think they're going to ultimately improve the relationship between police and community and give us a lot more information, a lot more transparency that will benefit everyone. We know there are a lot of particular challenges going to the kind of scale we have here in New York City, so we're going to be very deliberative about making sure we can take each next step and make it work.
As it is now, officers are required to record reasonable suspicion interactions, but the report says the NYPD should automatically record interactions to include all street encounters and investigative contacts. And officers should be trained to know what situations they shouldn't record, including victims of sex crimes, abused children, undercover agents, and civil informants, according to the report. Another issue is whether officers should notify people that they are being recorded and the specific language which should be used. Another concern is how often recorded stops are reviewed and by whom. Urey suggests officers and citizens shouldn't be able to review footage until after formal statements are given to investigators. Bill Bratton and the PBA said activating body-worn cameras will put officers at risk in dynamic situations when officers need to focus solely on civilians they are in direct contact with. But Urey's office said that this wasn't brought up as a major concern by any of the officers who participated in the NYPD body camera pilot program. In other news, when the grand jury in the Eric Garner case came back with a decision not to indict NYPD officer Daniel Pantaleo, most New Yorkers were in disbelief. We saw a video where Pantaleo put Garner in a deadly chokehold. Dan Donovan, the DA at the time, who is now a member of Congress, failed to get an indictment. Public advocate Tish James, as well as the NYCLU and legal aid, tried to get the transcript from the grand jury unsealed to understand the failure to indict the officer. This is part of an ongoing debate nationwide over whether lawmakers should make grand juries more transparent, particularly in police killing cases. They argued releasing the Garner case transcripts would help lawmakers decide what to do. However, appeals judges this week rejected the argument. They said it wasn't clear how the information would inform legislative debate beyond the facts that are already publicly known of the case. James, the NYCLU, and Legal Aid said they would appeal. Meanwhile, youth members of Make the Road New York are spreading out throughout Staten Island to register voters in the spirit of Eric Garner. They want to ensure that the next elected prosecutor represents the interests of the diverse community in Staten Island. Throughout the U.S., 95% of the elected prosecutors are white. And not that race necessarily matters when it comes to indicting officers who killed black men. Robert Johnson in the Bronx, who, by the way, is running unopposed, failed to indict NYPD officer Richard Haste, who killed Ramarlee Graham in his own home. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. Lawyers for ExxonMobil and the Christie administration touted the benefits of a controversial $225 million environmental settlement before a state judge on Thursday. The state had originally sought $9 billion from the oil giant to restore about 1,800 acres of wetlands. They were destroyed by pollution from Exxon's refineries in Linden and Bayonne. The Christie administration is trying to counter significant criticism of the deal from environmentalists and Democrats in the legislature. Opponents are also outraged that the $225 million is supposed to cover damages to natural resources at 16 smaller sites. This includes a Teterboro fuel tank farm as well as 1,800 gas stations that were not originally part of the case. In their corruption case, former New York State Senate Majority Leader Dean Skelos and his 33-year-old son Adam entered not guilty pleas on Thursday at their arraignment in Manhattan federal court. They've been free on bail since their May arrest. Skelos was the state's most powerful Republican before stepping down from the leadership position after his arrest on conspiracy and extortion charges. He retains his Senate seat. When Barack Obama was recently in Africa addressing the African Union, he said criminal networks are fueling corruption and threatening wildlife and tourism that Africa counts on. Outrage at the killing and trafficking of wildlife has been fueled since then by the killing of a beloved protected lion in Zimbabwe. At the United Nations yesterday, the first resolution aimed at combating illicit trafficking in wildlife was passed unanimously. Germany's representative to the UN, Harald Braun, said each day in Africa, around 100 elephants die at the hands of poachers.
Tanzania recently announced a drastic 60% drop in its elephant populations in the past 5 years due to poaching for ivory. And another fact, 1,200 rhinos were killed in South Africa for their horns in 2014 alone. And 700 already have been slaughtered this year.
The UN resolution reflects the growing global opposition to the escalating poaching and trafficking of wildlife. In local news, there are now 46 cases of Legionnaire disease in the South Bronx. Health Commissioner Dr. Mary Bassett said most New Yorkers are not at risk.
It is spread through contaminated mist. It lives in warm water. And so I want to make it clear that this is not about water towers and our drinking water. There is no worry about our water supply. We are concerned about cooling towers, which release warm mist.
The city says it identified and is overseeing the cleaning of two sources of Legionnaire's disease in the South Bronx, cooling towers at Lincoln Hospital and Concourse Plaza, which contains a movie theater. Most of the cases have been reported from the neighborhoods of Highbridge, Morrisania, and Hunts Point, Mott Haven. See your doctor if you're experiencing symptoms of the disease, fever, cough, and difficulty breathing. The city typically experiences 200 to 300 cases of Legionnaire's disease a year, which can be cured with antibiotics. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.